What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to a special Thanksgiving edition of the DFS OGs Pod. A quick look at the three-game Thanksgiving slate, our favorite picks, stacks, our favorite bets on Thanksgiving. I mean, what's better than gathering around with your family and friends? Maybe not. Maybe you're not going to be gathered. I know a lot of people are going to be sitting there on their own watching football, but what's better than DFS and betting to go along with it? So we are the DFS OGs. We'll keep it short. Sweet. Stay tuned. Later on in the week, we'll have our normal pod covering the rest of week 12. But definitely wanted to get in with you guys here and get you some Thanksgiving stuff for the holiday. Let me bring in my boys, my fellow OGs, Notorious. Chop, Chop, let's go to you, buddy. How's things? How was week 11? And Thanksgiving, I know, is a big favor to you. What's the plans here for Thanksgiving in the Chop household?
Yeah, last week was pretty good in DFS, so that's always nice. You know, this Thanksgiving, I'm so excited. I love Thanksgiving and I love the whole atmosphere. But this will be the second time in my entire life that I'm not going to do Thanksgiving with my mom and dad. You know, so it's a little bit bittersweet here, man. It's a great holiday, but just for safety reasons, I'm not going to be celebrating with any family members here except for the ones that are in the household here, me, my wife, my three kids, and that's how that's going to play out. But I'm still looking forward to some good football and some good food.
Any virtual Thanksgivings, Chop? You're gonna hop on the Zoom and eat some turkey together?
I'm glad you mentioned that. The kids and, you know, everybody's kind of organizing what they're going to do. I think there's like they're going to play games virtually, you know. There's some kind of game thing that they're going to play. And I won't be participating in that. Now, I'll be watching some football. You can keep the virtual stuff. But my kids will be doing that and my wife and the in-laws. So that's good.
Man, I was just about to ask, what in the hell kind of virtual games are you going to be playing? And can we get some video footage of said games? But I think a lot of people, that's right. They're going, Derek, let's get over to you, buddy. You know, same thing. How was week 11? What's the big Thanksgiving plans there in the Notorious household?
Yeah, week 11 wasn't great for me. I read a little too much into the coach speak on Nyheim Hines. And then we saw the Jonathan Taylor week. So that's kind of how it works. Naturally, but Thanksgiving, yeah, I kind of left it up to my parents. We haven't seen them for about a month or so, but they kind of felt obligated to do something. And I just said, hey, just let us know. We don't have to do anything, but sounds like we're going over to their house for a couple hours. So I'll at least have a little bit of a gathering and then have some time just to watch some football too. So a little bit of best of the both worlds. And unlike half the fantasy community, I like some turkey. I like some mashed potato stuffing, all that good stuff. I don't get what all the hate is about Thanksgiving.
I just think it's overrated. That's all. I mean, I'm a big guy. You know, I like to eat. You know, it's a day you throw down and you start taking a nap after the tryptophan sets in. And but I just say I'm not a huge turkey guy. Give me ham any time. Now, a deep fried turkey, some of these new innovations with turkey. And now we're talking. But your traditional out of the oven, yeah, I could pass on it. But you know, obviously looking forward to Thanksgiving. We're just low-key as well. Usually I got about 50, 60 family members at my house. It's a zoo, people everywhere. So I love the family and all, but I'm not going to miss that many people at the house. It just turns into a circus. So laying low, DFS, some bets, just like you guys, and no virtual games for me. We'll see what the wife's got planned, but none of that here for the beer man. But we're here to talk DFS, so let's get you guys the analysis here. For the three-game slate, always a fun time here. Let's get it started with Houston traveling to Detroit. Always that staple game early on Thanksgiving. Now, Notorious, the whole Detroit side is listed as questionable, basically. So it's a little difficult breaking this down. But we got Matthew Stafford limited in practice on Monday. We know DeAndre Swift still in the concussion protocol. So he's still listed as questionable. Kenny Golladay was limited yesterday in practice. Hockenson questionable. Hall, Amendola, the whole damn team is questionable. So let's just do our best to navigate here. Houston side a little bit easier. Randall Cobb, we know is out, and we kind of saw Kiki QT re-enter the fray. But let's get over to you here. I mean, break down Detroit the best you can. Obviously a very good matchup if Swift is back. If he's not, do we dare go back to the Kerryon Johnson or Adrian Peterson? Well, didn't work out too well in Week 11. And then Houston, another good matchup here. High total. We saw that offense specifically Watson looked very good last week. So do your best here. I know there's a lot of question marks. What do you got, Texans and Lions?
Yeah, so first of all, have a couple of notes on the slate as a whole. This day, more than any other day in terms of football, you need to utilize your late swap. Whether you're off to a good start or a bad start, you still have a lot of options. So definitely make sure to put your latest guys in your flex, and then just be ready to swap. You don't have to stick to the same team that you started with. If you have to make up ground, don't be afraid to do it. And then the other note is that usually the Lions game, you know, it's always first, and usually it's the worst of the three. But we have, you know, the Ravens and Steelers, not a whole lot of fantasy production expected in that one. Washington and Dallas, not usually as good as the Cowboys games on Thanksgiving in terms of fantasy production. So this first one might actually be the best to stack. As far as the Texans side, really good spot for Deshaun Watson. The Lions like to play a lot of man coverage, so he's going to have a lot of rushing upside in this one. He has rushed for at least 25 yards in six straight games. I definitely should have listened to Chop last week on Duke Johnson. You know, he mentioned that the Texans, they don't just, you know, line up and run the ball like a lot of teams. And we've seen that over the last 2 weeks. You know, Duke's still getting the snaps, but just hasn't done anything with them. This is a great matchup. This is a three-game slate, so I do think you can go back to him. But I definitely don't feel as good about him as, you know, I was hoping to over the last couple weeks. Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks in play every single week. And then you mentioned Kiki Cutie getting the start in the slot, 3,400. I expect him to be pretty popular. Akins coming off the big game. Feels like bad cheap chalk in my eyes, but he could always get there with the touchdown. Then on the Lions side, you mentioned, you know, everyone's being questionable. If Swift suits up, he's going to be one of the top running back plays of the slate. If he's out, I will actually prefer Adrian Peterson over Kerryon Johnson. They were playing with a huge deficit that entire game, so Johnson ended up playing 70% of the snaps this game. I expect to stay closer. I expect him to have some success on the ground. So give me AP over Kerryon if I have to choose between them. And then with the passing game, just depends on who's all going to suit up. It looks like Stafford's kind of popping in most of the projections as a top point per dollar option at quarterback, but just going to depend on his weapons and his thumb injury. He didn't look great last week, so a lot of wait and see when it comes to Detroit.
I didn't get a chance to look, and I know Calvin Johnson used to kill it on Thanksgiving, but is it Marvin Jones, a Thanksgiving guy? I mean, we love the narratives here, joking, half joking, of course, but am I wrong here? Has Marvin Jones been tearing it up on Thanksgiving?
I don't remember Marvin Jones being the guy.
Now maybe I'm thinking back to Calvin days. You know, I am getting old, a little Alzheimer's setting in, but I'm pretty much with you, Derek. I think Duke Johnson is really the question mark because we know Detroit, about as good of a matchup as you can get on the ground, but just run the line like we've talked about. So just really frustrating in that sense. So, Detroit, I'm interested. We'll see who plays. You know, if Galladay's out, obviously Jones, Amendola and Hall, super cheap. Hockenson's interesting. So it's really going to come down to who's in there. And if it's DeAndre Swift, I'm all aboard. I know he'll be very popular here, but this is a tremendous matchup. Houston gives up a ton of yardage on the ground. If it's those other guys, I kind of avoided them last week, and I'm going to probably do the same here this week. We'll see. But all in all, should be a fun game. You're right. This is the one with the big total. The other one sitting in the mid-40s, some injuries there as well. But this one at 51, I think is very stackable. So, Chop, let's get over you for a betting pick here. Houston -351 on the total.
I would say it's pretty accurate, little spread here. I'm going to take Houston -3.
Derek, what do you got?
Whatever they are.
I will take the over.
I'm going to be a sucker here and take the Lions. I mean, they pretty much hit rock bottom last week, put a bagel on the board. I live in the Detroit area, and the coach is on the hot seat. A lot of people asking him a million different questions about his job. I think they come out here and have a spirited performance. So I know there's no crowd, none of that, but I just think they're going to come out and play well. So I'll take Detroit +3. All right, the afternoon game. This is when the nap starts setting in. So let's see if we can power through it here. We've got Washington and Dallas here, Derek. Injury-wise, a couple minor notes on Washington. Antonio Gibson, Terry McLaurin, both sat out yesterday, Monday's practice. Just sounds like more of a maintenance thing than anything. Dallas looks good to go here coming off that big win at Minnesota. They look good. Andy Dalton got it done through the air. Zeke was back on the ground. So a divisional game here, Derek. Everybody's still alive in the NFC East. So how do you see this one playing out?
It's funny how much things change week to week. I saw a guy on Twitter post a poll What do you want the Cowboys to do? This was before the Vikings game, and like 70% of the vote said to lose as many games as possible, get the better pick. Then they beat the Vikings. He posted the same poll, and it was the exact opposite. 70% said they want him to make the playoffs instead of losing and trying to get the better pick. So they are still alive. They could easily be winning the division if they win this game, which is kind of crazy. As far as their fantasy options, it's a tough matchup. Washington, 4th in DVOA against the pass, 13th in DVOA against the run. I like Zeke because, you know, finding 20-plus touches in a three-game slate is going to be tough to do. So I like Zeke quite a bit. And then in the passing game, I like Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. Cooper, you know, led the team in targets last week, always seems to play well on Thanksgiving, tends to play his best at home in Dallas. And then Lamb, just getting a lot of the shorter routes over the middle. And I kind of like that with Andy Dalton. You know, Washington does have a very good pass rush, so he might not have a ton of time to air it out. So maybe look at CeeDee Lamb over the middle. Maybe look at Dalton Schultz. He's kind of a cheap tight end option. And for Washington, it really just comes down to how you think the game's going to play out. When Washington's been trailing, it's been the J.D. McKissic show. He played on 83 and 70% of the snaps in the two games where they were down big. And then last week, Gibson kind of led the way, and Gibson scored 5 touchdowns in the last 4 games. So if you think they're going to keep it close, I like Gibson. If you think they're going to play from behind, I like McKissic. Probably wouldn't play both of them in the same lineup myself. McLaurin, he's viable each and every week. And then Cam Sims has kind of taken over the wide receiver 2 role. He's played close to 90% of the snaps the last 2 games. He's only 3,300, so he's an interesting punt, as is Lance Thomas. I seem to bring him up every week, but he keeps getting targets and keeps doing very little with them, but at least he's getting some work. So that's kind of my thoughts on Washington.
Now, you said Lance Thomas. He's about as effective as Lance Thomas, the NBA player.
No,
got some NBA on the mind. Either way, both guys are pretty terrible and don't do much on the field. I fell for the matchup with Cincinnati with Logan Thomas last week and didn't do a whole lot. But I think McKissic is the interesting one. I'm glad you brought him up. I know he was pretty popular in week 11, but, you know, it is all about game flow. You know, if they're playing from ahead, they want to get Gibson the ball. They're never going to give him a huge workload, but you're going to need them from behind to get McKissic involved. And Dallas is favored here, not a big favorite, but maybe they do play from behind in this one. Love McLaurin. Love these prices on Lamb and Cooper. I think a stack of Dalton and one or two of these pass catchers. Derek, where did you come out of Michael Gallup? The price keeps plummeting. He had a couple of bad drops in that game I was watching against Minnesota. Any interest there at 3,500?
I mean, he could certainly break the slate. He's probably my third favorite of the wideouts, even though he's a lot cheaper. There's just a lot of good value plays in the slate, so I don't feel, you know, obligated to go down there.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, I love the price, but he just doesn't have that same upside that these other two guys have. So if you need the value, maybe he's a pivot off of a QT, somebody that's going to go cheap and be pretty popular. We'll see what the ownership projections look like, but I just wanted to bring him up. All right, Chop, your turn. Betting pick, Dallas, -3 at home, 46 on the total.
Yes, exceptional game here. I'm so excited for this one. Like, I don't know, man. Give me it's a tough one. Give me Dallas. I got to be a homer here. Got to.
Are you excited because your team's like three and seven, and they're still in the hunt? Is that?
Here's the thing, man. If you ask me about that poll, I would say 100%. I want the highest draft pick possible this year, 100%. But you know, as the week gets closer to the game every week, it's like, yeah, but there's this huge piece of me. I want to see Philly fail so bad, and I want to be the team that makes Philly fail and miss the playoffs. So there's. You got that going on, too. There's a pride there. So I want the high draft pick, but, boy, I really want to knock Philly off out of the top spot, too.
12-27-1 is the NFC East. I mean, that's worse than my betting record. I mean, that's just bad. So it should be an interesting game, though. I agree. Derek, what do you got on the spread? Dallas -3 or 46 on the total?
I don't feel great about either of these. I think it's going to be a field goal game, but I will go with Dallas.
I am going to go under. It's just these teams don't put up a ton of offense here. So I'm going to go under that 46. So let's wrap it up. Final game. Before we do, want to say thank you to our friends at Manscaped for presenting the podcast here. Make sure you check out Manscaped for holiday gift ideas. Male grooming at its finest. Use promo code ROTO for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. All right, Derek, let's wrap this baby up. the nightcap looks like a fun one. Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Now, we do have some COVID-19 wreaking havoc here on the Baltimore side. We know J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram both put on the COVID-19 list. That means they're not going to play here Thursday night. So, Gus Edwards, 4K, is that the way you want to go? Justice Hill, do we dig a little bit deeper and go that route? Pittsburgh side, Juju Smith-Schuster, did not practice Monday. This dude tripped on a penalty flag, and maybe there was more to it, but did you guys see that? Like, I don't know if he stepped on it or what, and had to leave the game. So maybe you guys know more about that than I do, but was watching that and like, did that really just happen? Did this guy get taken out by a penalty flag? But Derek, what do you got here? Baltimore running backs. Maybe that clears some room for Pittsburgh receivers if Juju doesn't play. But your thoughts here, Ravens and Steelers.
I just pulled up Juju's little blurb on DraftKings and says he tripped over the weighted portion of the penalty flag. So at least it wasn't the actual flag
part. I feel a little better now.
He didn't practice on Monday. So if he's out, that's obviously good news for Deontay Johnson and for Charles Claypool. Johnson has at least 10 targets in every full game that he's played this season. He's been their wide receiver one, and it hasn't been particularly close. And over the last three games, the Steelers, haven't wanted to run the ball. Big Ben's thrown the ball 42, 46, and 46 times, and two of those were blowout wins. So they're just trying to air it out as much as they can. Love Deontay Johnson, even if Juju ends up playing. Charles Claypool, 10 touchdowns in his first 10 NFL games, which is really impressive. They're getting him the ball in so many different ways. I think he's viable, especially if Juju's out. And then James Washington becomes pretty viable if Juju ends up being out as well. He's at the flat minimum. So maybe you can get off of the chalk and some of the earlier receivers that are cheap. And then the Ravens haven't been great against tight ends, so Eric Ebron could be sneaky. But I won't be going to James Conner. I mean, he couldn't reach value in blowout wins over the Jaguars, blowout win over the Bengals. So I think he's going to have a tough time against Baltimore. And then on the Ravens side, it's going to be tough with the backfield. I mean, I know it's a really tough matchup, but you got to think Gus Edwards is going to get the bulk of the work. Justice Hill's only played 5 or 6 snaps all season, and Edwards has kind of been the guy. He's mid-salary. They're going to want to run the ball with him, and I think he's in a pretty decent spot. We've seen him play well in difficult matchups in the past. So I actually like Gus Edwards quite a bit. The Steelers have seemed to figure out Lamar Jackson before the rest of the NFL did, and now it seems like everyone else has as well. They held him to 19 fantasy points earlier in the season, and they held him to a pretty low fantasy outing last year, too. So it's hard to put a ton of faith into Lamar Jackson and Marquise Brown at the moment, but they will be low owned. So if you're looking for leverage, that is certainly one way you can do it. Mark Andrews, had the big game last week, but Pittsburgh number one against tight ends. So it's really a tough spot for the Ravens offense as a whole. They just haven't shown a lot recently. So I hate to say it, but I think Edwards is my favorite play there.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought – I mean, 4K is a nice price, even in a difficult matchup. We'll see what the ownership bears out on that one. I could see him being a pretty popular play. But I'm glad you brought up Hollywood. The price finally dropped. I mean, this guy was always around 6K. He hasn't done anything. Now he's down to 4,700 coming off that bagel. So you mentioned you can't trust him. Pittsburgh has had some issues with number one wide receivers, and I don't even know if we'd consider him the number one wide receiver right now, but a pretty fair price there. And I know it's been frustrating for anyone playing him, but he does bring that big playability. Now, can Lamar get him the ball? That's the question. Derek, any interest in Dez Bryant, who we saw back in the mix? One of Chop's old favorites, but 3,600 there. I don't know. He got about 5 targets, looks like. Wasn't overly crazy involved, but any interest in playing Dez Bryant here against Pittsburgh?
So it looked like he played 54% of the snaps. That's more than I thought he did. Marquise Brown only 23%. So I don't know what is going on there. But, yeah, I don't think I can go to Dez Bryant. I know, I guess he's had some big Thanksgiving Day games in the past. But I'll let other people chase that.
All right, let's go to Chop for our last betting pick here on Thanksgiving. Pittsburgh -4, 45 on the total.
Baltimore, book it.
Wow. No hesitation there. Derek, what do you got?
Man, Chop's confidence is making me rethink things.
I know.
I'm leaning towards Pittsburgh. This does feel like a trap spot where, they have yet to lose, and they're coming off of a couple of easy wins. Baltimore looks terrible. I'm switching. I'm going Baltimore, too. Let's go.
I got to balance the ship a little bit here. I'm gonna stick with my Pittsburgh. Chop was very convincing. I mean, there was no hesitation. Baltimore. I just – Pittsburgh's been the much better team. The defense playing solid. The passing game looks legit. James Conner, how frustrating is it when you roster Conner and Benny Snell comes trotting out there and steals the touchdowns? But anyway, back to the bet. Baltimore just does not look good. The offense does not look good. Now you take Dobbins, who was a bright spot. You know, he looks like he's starting to emerge as the guy. Now he's out. You know, you're down your top two running backs. Receivers haven't done much of anything. And the defense has shown some vulnerabilities as well. So to circle back, I'll balance you guys out here, and I'll take Pittsburgh minus the 4. That will do it here, guys. I told you, quick and simple. We will be back again covering the rest of week 12, so stay tuned for that. Make sure you come on back for that. We will update our betting records then, have some good news and some bad news on the betting front. So make sure you come back for that and the rest of the analysis. But, guys, before we get out of here, any final thoughts for the people on Thanksgiving, the slate, the holiday, whatever you want to talk about? Chop, let's go over to you.
No, I mean, we pretty much covered it. It's just it's a different circumstance this year than I think we've ever seen. So just don't take them for granted in the future, these holidays like this. And please, guys, I mean, I can't stop you guys on Twitter, but, oh, man, I'd prefer you stay out of my timeline with those bad Thanksgiving takes. It's a good holiday. The food is fine. If you haven't had no offense, beer, but if you like chicken, but you don't like turkey, it's because you're not getting the turkey prepared the right way. I can send you to some places that'll give you some good turkey. But it's some good food, guys. And the reason why we don't eat it every day of the year, if Thanksgiving's so good, why don't you eat it every day? Because you got to have things like that to, like, savor once a year, man, to make it special. If all you did was eat it, then it'd become pretty bland and boring. But listen, guys, it's good food. Trust me.
No, I mean, I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm not going to be one of these haters on your timeline that saying it's a terrible holiday. It's not my favorite. I'm a Christmas guy, but I definitely will throw down. We make some good stuff, little sweet potato casseroles, and
Oh yeah, man,
that's almost a dessert in itself there. So you know, I enjoy the meal. It's not my favorite holiday. I'll just say that. So, Derek, final thoughts here. Any DFS stuff? Maybe a favorite stack, favorite play. If not, any final words here for the peeps on Thanksgiving?
I agree with everything Chop said. So well put, Chop. Everyone stay safe out there if you are venturing outside of the house like myself. And don't forget to use Late Swap. More than any other slate this year, this is the time to do it. If you get off to a bad start, pivot to some lower owned plays and go from there.
Yeah, and Derek brought up a great point. Make sure your latest guys are in your flex. You can utilize that feature in our lineup HQ on Roto Grinders. If you're not a premium member, make sure you go and check that out. But we will have you covered from all angles on Thanksgiving. Tons of content. I know Chop doing a bunch of premium videos as well, so make sure you check those out. There'll be showdown videos, all kinds of different ways to play DFS on Thanksgiving, to bet DFS, and we have you covered here at Roto Grinder. So for Chop, for Notorious, I am Beer. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in a few days with the rest of week 12. Celebrate safely, guys. Have fun. Good luck in your DFS contest. And thank you, as always, for listening to DFS OG's Pod right here on RotoGrinder.com.